Recording in process. After you tell me to do that?
Yeah, because I'm
going to say, got it.
Audio. I'm going to save the audio to go to YouTube and on the website for the podcast.
Okay. So all I got to do is say, got it.
Yep. Yep. You have to agree to being okay with being recorded.
Okay. I see that. Can you see the background? I tried to change background. That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, I see it.
It's together.
Better together?
Well, you're hiding it, but yeah, it's there.
I'm hiding it because, I mean, I got that from, I was very, very proud that the Minnesota Council of Churches gave that to me as my gift for serving as president for the last 2 years, and they embraced my better together saying. And so they went out and had a special frame made to embrace my better together saying. So I want to put that on everything I do. Okay. Because it has truly become a saying throughout the nation, not only just Minnesota, but throughout the nation. Everybody says better together. So can y'all see? Get out of the way, can you see it?
You know, you have to move your voice up.
We can see you now.
You can see it better together now?
Yep, looks great.
All right. So that's a gift. So that should be on all of my stuff going forward.
All right.
That it's truly become a kind of a stalemate, or should I say? A product of what we've been doing for the last 20 years.
All right, so stand by. I'm about to go live. All right.
Are we live now?
Yes.
All right. Good evening, everyone. And I know other people be joining us, but right now I just want to say thank you for joining us, those who have united with us tonight. And on this day, I had a chance to read different posts about Nelson Mandela, and it has really inspired me. But the day of a celebration of the work that Nelson Mandela did there in South Africa. And the whole message was that what Nelson Mandela did in South Africa, many years ago, starting back in 1993, is what we need today in America. So I am so happy to embrace what he did. He built bridges. I mean, he called probably one of the worst white supremacists to his house and had a conversation with him. And after that conversation he had with that person, he ran for president and won. And that began the building of that nation. Of them coming together as one. So today I stand with you, united, and say what we're trying to do with Pearls of Living is trying to build bridges. I'm not trying to divide us, but I'm trying to build bridges. That's why I always said we're better together. And I want to start tonight by offering a devotional and a word of prayer. But in this devotional, since we're celebrating Nelson Mandela, and since I've had a chance to visit so many places across the country, the church is trying to visit churches and pastors and people who are trying to reopen, and they're really struggling with that. I thought that we would look at Psalms 32, verse 8, and I got from Psalms 32, verse 8, and I thought about how everybody is looking for directions on how to reopen, and they're looking for answers to where do we go from here. Where do we go? That's the question I've been asked the most. But so many people have dropped out of the ministry. That's so many people who have actually quit, who said they wouldn't go back after COVID and after the racial justice issues and after the political divide that we have in this country. There are a lot of pastors, a lot of people who was pastoring who have said, I can't do this anymore, because people are more concerned about politics and more concerned about the political divide between Trump and Biden, and about the COVID vaccine. People are more concerned about that, and it caused so much division in the church. People said, I can't do this anymore. And you all be surprised at the number of people, and Barna Research is still doing it right now, at the number of pastors, young pastors who have dropped out, not just older people like me, but young pastors who said, I can't do this because it's just not the good time to do it, because there's so much going on in a political structure, and the church is trying to figure out how to come back from the COVID. So, and then even in South Mississippi, in Mississippi period, most churches just reopened back last week on July 11th. And then even at that, most people have said they're not coming back right now. Because if you look at the figures, the percentages, in Mississippi, like 32% of the people have been vaccinated. And that other percentage said they're not gonna get vaccinated. So because of that, the cases, the Delta variant is on the rise, and churches are struggling with how do we come back? And there are a lot of people who have thrown up their hands and said, I can't do this. So what people are looking for direction on how do we open it? Where do we go from here? But I want to suggest to you that all the time we have a place where we can go for direction. We have a place we can go. And this is where I've gone even now. For some reason, we seem to neglect that place. But in Psalms 32 and 8, it says this. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. And watch this. He said, I will advise you and watch over you. I will advise you and I will watch over you. That's what it is right there, you all. The Lord said, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. In other words, God has promised to guide us step by step. He has promised to guide us step by step through this journey. Even now, during COVID, he has promised to guide us through, he promised to guide us through our relationships. He has promised to guide us through our careers. A lot of people have lost careers or changed careers through this time, but God has promised to guide us through our careers, through our finances. Many people are struggling with their finances and have struggled. But look how God is using the government to even put money in people's bank and money in people's pocket. So, I mean, God said he would guide us through our finances and even through our personal lives. Many personal lives have suffered because they haven't been able to be in relationship with the church. The church is the product of creating relationship. And because the church has not been in session in so many cases, people have really, really been hurt because of relationship. But God said, I will guide you through even your personal life. He speaks to us through his word and through the wisdom of his spiritual leaders. Through his word and through his spiritual leaders. But I'm going to tell you all right now, not too many people are willing to listen to spiritual leaders. They listen to everybody else. They listen to social media, listen to Facebook and all these other books and that kind of book and that book. They listen to every kind of social media, but they're not willing to listen to spiritual leaders. Too often we neglect to listen, preferring to keep making the wrong turn. We make the wrong turns. That's why the vaccines right now are not what they need to be, because we'll listen to that, all this misinformation, the big lie. People are continually saying the wrong things, and people are joining into this misinformation. So I say to you tonight, if you're feeling just a little lost in some areas of your life and the turns you take keep leading you where you don't want to be, I want to say to you, stop. This is what I had to do. Just stop for a moment. Stop for a moment and open your heart to the voice of God. I have to do that every morning. I have to just stop and open my heart to the voice of God. Because with all this other stuff going on, all this other stuff I'm listening to, trust me, if you listen to the news every day, if you listen to CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and all these things, you're about to go crazy. So what you have to do every now and then, I hope you do it each day, is just stop and open your heart and listen to the voice of God. As Christians, we need to listen to the voice of God and let his word direct us to the next step that we need to take. Let his word direct us to the next step. That's why I'm in my relationship right now. I thank God that I allow his word to direct me. Not all of this stuff on social media, not all this stuff I hear. I mean, daily you hear something about the insurrection. What happened on January 6th? I mean, and it's not surprising all this stuff you hear because you knew what was going on when it happened on January 6th. You know that was a coup that was actually tried to happen. I mean, it actually tried to happen. And I don't know if it had not been for a quick action from the FBI and other and the National Guard, I don't know what kind of state we would be in right now. But thank God, we still have a democratic nation in America. So I had to take time and thank God and thank him for giving me the next step of my life every day. And I can promise you this. If you let God, he will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I'm a witness. God will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Praise God. So with that, I want to just open us up with a word of prayer. God, how we thank you, how we love you, how we appreciate everything you've done for us. And God, we know that you are our everything. You are our everything. So therefore, right now, God, we bow at your feet. Right now, we bow at your feet. And we ask that you would guide us and direct us every step, every pathway. We appreciate what you've already done. But God, even now, take control, and we know you will. This we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So with that in mind, this is the Pearl of Living. For those that didn't know, we are Pearl of Living. And Pearl of Living is actually, it was formerly Say So Ministries when I first came to Minnesota some years ago. It was Say So Ministries. Well, 21 years ago, it was Say So Ministries. Say So Ministries actually produced our second, well, no, our third record, the Russell's third record. And from Say So Ministries came actually Freedom Ministries down in Meridian, Mississippi. And I'm proud to say that that ministry in Meridian, Mississippi has grown to, I mean, that's probably the largest ministry in Meridian, Mississippi. And Chavez and I had a chance to go and see the young pastor, LeBaron Hedgman, be ordained as a bishop, which was a exceptional event. He was ordained as a bishop back in June. And we're very, very proud of that particular ministry. But that actually happened under Say So Ministry / Freedom Ministry. So now we have, from Say So Ministry, Freedom Ministry, we have developed what is called Pearls of Living. And Pearls of Living came about by my baby daughter, who is 8821, she declared that we need to do something in my mother's honor. My mother, Annie Pearl Russell. Annie Pearl Russell. She has so many words of wisdom. I mean, at some point, we're going to put all that up on the screen and let you all see it. Not tonight, because she has so many sayings that are unbelievable. And all of them, she didn't say it all the time in English correct manner, should I say, but she knew it was words of wisdom for everybody who would listen. So Deisha said, let's call it Pearls. And then from that, we build upon, okay, let's give Pearls of Living. And from Pearls of Living came Pearls of Wisdom. So we can give people wisdom on how to actually live life and how to go about daily living. Now, and people have asked me different questions, like, what kind of ministry is this? Is it a church? Is it that? Is it that? My thing is right now, we got our very special guest tonight who's working with us to develop our goals and objectives. And we're going to do whatever God lead us to do. That's what we're going to do. But our main goal is we've been in conversation with churches and with pastors all across the country. I have this last, how long I've been gone for Great of Friendship? 90 days, 60 days? But this time I've been gone, I hadn't been sitting down. My wife and I have traveled from Arizona to Florida to Mississippi. And every time we travel, Arizona, Florida, Mississippi, Michigan, wherever we go, we're always in conversation with pastors, with churches, with people. And when you hear conversation like there are actually the people who said, we actually been having phone church. No, we could not afford to have a Zoom church because we don't have internet. We can't get Zoom. So can you imagine phone church? Everybody had a call in. And even my sister is one of those who said, this phone church thing is not working. So she's like, I need to come together with people. I need people in my life. So phone church is not working. If we heard that one time, we've heard that 100 times. Phone church is not working. Zoom church is not working. I need people in my life. But then on the other hand, there are people who said, I like this Zoom thing. I like sitting in my bed at home in my pajamas and watching church. So I'm not ready to go back. And believe me when I say that not only have people said that, but pastors have said that. Pastors said, I don't want to go back because I don't want to deal with the issue. So, I mean, maybe more pastors than people have said that. So the thing is tonight, that's what brought us to this tonight is, what do we do? How do we come back after COVID? What do we do? And this series tonight is going to help us to develop this big workshop. We'll put it together as Prayer of the Living. We'll put in this workshop together and want to see what people actually need and listen to questions from people and listen to the situation that's trying to guide themselves through to determine what do we need to do in this workshop. I'm in conversation with several people. I'm still in conversation with Council of Churches. I'm still in conversation with Transform Minnesota, with the One Fund. I'm still in conversation with people who want to fund this ministry, what we're doing. So my thing is right now, I got to say, this is what we need. This is what churches need going forward. And guess what? As a pastor of 40 years of pastoring, I want to be able to say to churches who are struggling, and I know without a doubt they are, because I've talked to people. I want to be able to say, look, this is what we can help you with. And we're going to present a workshop. And people like our guest tonight are going to be a part of that workshop. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about her for those that don't know her. Let me see here. What did I get the wrong thing here? Give me a minute. Her name is Joy Sykes. And I can tell you about Joy. Joy is a person, number one, I can say this before I even pull up a bio. Joy is the first person that I came in contact with when I got to Minnesota so many years ago, when I first came to Great of Friendship back in 2001. The next thing I did was I went to a workshop that was sponsored by St. Thomas University. And Joy was the one who was presenting. She was one of the presenters at that particular workshop. And at that particular workshop, I was able to connect with so many people because of Joy. If it had not been for her, I probably wouldn't have been able to connect with people at St. Thomas. St. Thomas University helped me to develop that first set of questions as we went through as a church, determining what we need to do at Greater Friendship as a church. We ended up getting a doctoral student to come in and help us actually come up with our 5-year plan, our 10-year plan. It was because of Joy I was able to connect with Stair Step. It was because of Joy I was able to connect with Mad Dads. I mean, the list goes on and on. And because of the work that she did, I was able to connect with all these people. In other words, connect with the community. And that's one of the first things I know that has to happen before anybody can be successful in a ministry in a city, especially in an urban setting. You got to be able to know who you're dealing with. Oh, yeah. Now, I had been with an urban ministry before in Meridian, Mississippi. Meridian was a metropolis, about 100,000. And certainly, it was not a Minneapolis, a St. Paul kind of setting, but it was a metropolis. So I knew right off the bat, the first thing I need to do, I got to connect with the people in this particular city. So I had to get it. I was very fortunate enough to get into a workshop setting with Joy and others who were in that particular setting. And that propelled my ministry in the Twin Cities, because I was able to connect with the community, not just with one or two, I just named a couple of them, but with so many other ministers because of the kind of connection that I got through Joy Sykes, her training and consulting. Now, she's a person, I can't seem to pull up a resume right now, but I know I can tell you this, she got 25 years of starting and growing nonprofit organization, strategic planning, fundraising boards, that kind of stuff. And let me get right here. I really want to tell you about Joy before I turn her loose.
It's on the back of my book. On the back of the new book, I have a bio.
You got a bio on the back? Okay, that's what I was trying to.
She got that.
Okay. Real connection. All right, I'll tell you what I do. I'm going to let this Joy tell you about the books. I know she read at least 4 books and got a brand new book I'm going to tell you about in a minute, but I'm going to just let her introduce herself and tell you about the things she's done. I just kind of wanted to get that preview. I know that she was the one that introduced me to the Twin Cities, and that's been why over the years I've seen the work that she's done, and right now she still have a great connection throughout the Twin Cities, not only in the Twin Cities, but nationally and internationally. So, Joy, would you just kind of introduce yourself to us? That's who you are and what you do.
Sure. Thank you for the nice compliments, Reverend Russell. That was wow. I did not know that the program that I worked on had that impact on your ministry. So that was wonderful to hear. I'm a consultant, trainer, and coach. I live in South Minneapolis, and I'm portable, like I say. So I do travel around the country and do Zoom work with both churches and nonprofits. Usually I'm working with churches and nonprofits that want to grow or kind of move into growth mode, you know, get out of the situation that they're in right now and move forward. So that usually involves strategic planning and visioning. Often it involves work on board governance, and then also fundraising strategies. And with churches, I work on how to get better connected with the community. So really, you know, if you want to grow your church, the people are out there. So you have to figure out how to connect with people and organizations outside of the four walls of your church if you want to grow your church. And if you want to have successful and effective community ministry. So I work with congregations on that all the time. And then the new book is Real Connections.
Real Connections. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Yeah.
Yep. Ministries to Strengthen Church and Community Relationships. So I'm also
consulting. Very timely booklet.
Yeah. Also consulting with churches on how to be more relational, help church members connect more deeply with each other, but also how to build real relationships in the community around your church and establish partnerships. So I've written 3 other books in addition to that one. Here they are. Starting a Nonprofit at Your Church. It's for congregations that want to set up separate 501c3 nonprofits. And often that's to do community ministry work and access grant funding. And then a book on Community Ministry 7, Creative Models for Community Ministry. That's with Judson Press. And then Winning Grants to Strengthen Your Ministry, and that's all about grant writing. So it's Roman and Littlefield is the name of the publisher. So that's where you can find them. So that, my husband always says I have my books connected to my elbow and I just go like this and they come out and I show them to people. So that's what I just did, I guess. I've been doing this. This is my, I don't know, I've probably been consulting for 25 years, and this is my 16th year doing it full time. And it's just so fun.
That's what I got here now, Joe, is that you, for 25 years of starting and growing nonprofit organizations, strategic planning, fundraising, board development, new ministry launch.
Yeah.
Joy is a consultant, an author, a coach who works through the, throughout the United States to help churches develop strategic vision and connect to their communities in creative ways. She has 30 years of experience and has worked with hundreds of churches and nonprofits to help them gain focus and grow. Joy has authored 4 books, Real Connections, Ministry to Strengthen Churches and Community Relationships, and 7 Creative Models for Communities Ministries, and Winning Grants to Strengthen Your Ministry and to Starting a Nonprofit. I had to say that because I know she was going to be very modest in saying that. So the new book is really very, very timely for what we're doing right now, Joy. And I want to say that, and maybe you can say more about it, but that new book is called Real Connection. As I was looking through it, and I had a chance to read a lot of it, but some things that I was able to highlight was the fact that how you were able to talk about the real connection part and how to the essential qualities, how to talk to strangers. Everyone should have a friend at church and church partnership, community connections. It's a beautiful day when you know your neighbors and you were there for me. That difficult conversations, how to have those difficult conversations. Models for relational ministries, leadership for connection, navigating change, which is a very key point, and leadership connection. I mean, all these things, but just as I looked at them, they're so right for today's time. And I'm just kind of, what prompted you to write this, doing this season? I mean, and I already can tell everybody, you could be one of our presenters at our workshop, but it seemed like it was just God ordained for you to do this during this season. So tell us about how that came about.
Yeah, I wrote it with my colleague Heidi Unruh, who's got a real specialty in ministries with disenfranchised people and families, you know, that are in transition or in difficult situations. So she and I did a number of webinars. I think we did 10 webinars with 10 different groups during the pandemic. It was last spring, helping churches think through how can we stay connected to the community when we can't see people. And out of that, we started talking about a book. And so Judson Press, who we both published with before, this was God ordained, had a sudden opening in their schedule. So she and I wrote this book in 2 months. So we handed the manuscript in at the end of January, and to have it turn around this fast is kind of unheard of. But we wanted to do it because we feel like relationships are critical in the church reopening successfully. So I think during this time, churches were really focused on how to continue worship, particularly online. Maybe we didn't have as much conversation about how do people stay connected with each other and connected with the church itself in a relational way. And so we kind of looked at it from all the different angles. And when we come back together, I don't think that we can just act like let's pick up where we left off, because people have been transformed by this pandemic in really hard ways and also in some good ways, I think, you know. So at my church, we're gonna do a service of lament, you know, to lament the things that we've lost during this time. And some people lost people, you know, family members and friends to COVID. Other people lost jobs. I don't know, just challenging things. Kids fell behind in school because they had to do it on Zoom. Our family missed 2 graduations. Our kids were, both of them were supposed to graduate last year, and we didn't have that. So that's a loss too. And then doing another service where we celebrate how God brought us through, you know, like there's a lot of blessings and growth that came out of this time also. So that's an example of sort of how to think about the situation the church is in from a more relational perspective.
Great. So as I was reading and looking through, I mean, there was a segment in there where you talked about reimagining the church as a hub for connections and how churches play a major role in that reimagining the church as a hub for reconnecting. And then you talked about a fresh start and strengthening relationship at your church. A fresh start for a strengthening relationship. The relationship, as you said, has been breached somewhat. So now the church got to, you can't assume that everybody just come back, you know, and everybody's all right. But there got to be something to happen in order for that, have that fresh start in relationships in your church. And then you talked about leadership with relationships at the center. And let's talk about our COVID year hosting conversation in the church and community, strengthening relationships in the hybrid ministry, connecting with people who are hidden and hurting. And then you talk about those difficult conversations, building bridges across differences. And I think that right there is probably one of the major things that we got to do, because right now that's what the church is. We're at a point where we got to have those difficult conversations. Those difficult conversations could involve, are you vaccinated or not? But it also could involve stuff like what happened with George Floyd and the social justice issues. And I think that's what it has split a lot of churches. We have a lot, and listen, I can go on and on about churches who have split and who have lost members because of the social justice issues and about testing. I mean, I'm just blown away about people who have come out because of certain evangelical statements or stuff they heard on social media about the vaccine. And they're saying that the vaccine is killing more people than the actual virus. I mean, that kind of stuff is out there. So, I mean, have you had to deal with anything like that going and what are your thoughts on that?
Sure. I mean, I think a lot of churches right now are purple churches, meaning they're people who are Democrat and Republican and probably have other political persuasions or none in the same church. So how can we talk to each other when we don't agree on some really fundamental things? And so we outline in the book exactly how to do that. There's a chapter on how to have a difficult conversation. So we recommend you have it with somebody that you know, with the idea that you preserve your relationship or strengthen it. So really it's opening with curiosity to find out more about the person's position and asking a lot of questions, particularly about their story and why a particular issue is important to them. You know, who influenced them and coming to the way that they think about this. So sometimes there's something in someone's backstory that's influenced how they reached this conclusion. So some member in their family was affected deeply in a way, often as a piece of it. And then I think it's important to have a posture of like listening. So I'm a talker. So I have to, when I have a conversation like this with somebody, I have to talk less. I have to be intentional about that. And then the goal is not to convince the other person. So if you're passionate about social justice issues, and I am, you always want to recruit people to your side. So it's like, I need to convince you to get over here. And that's not the goal of a conversation like this. So I was on the debate team in high school. So back then, and well into my adult life, my goal was to win the argument. Always, which made me kind of annoying to a lot of people. But the goal is not to win. It's just really to understand. And sometimes you'll find the other person has the same values as you. They want the same thing and they just want to see it happen in a different way. So I have a political science major. So I talk to people all the time. We don't want government as involved as I would want government to be. So they might have, be excited about affordable housing, for example, but they think it should happen in a private way, or like private philanthropy would fund it. And maybe they're doing that themselves, being very generous donors to it. And I think, my personal view is the government's gonna need to get pretty involved in that issue in order for it to really happen. But we want the same thing. So kind of focusing on the commonalities, I think is important too. But I hope Christians have these difficult conversations. They're not happening in the broader culture. And I think we need to demonstrate and model how to have a civil conversation and preserve relationship in the middle of disagreement.
Well, trust me, I've been involved in those very difficult conversations with, white pastors who cannot have those conversations within their own church. and they come and talk to me about what can they do and how can they go about doing that. So I think that's a very good point in the book, that you're challenging people that you need to have that difficult conversation. You can't keep on evading the issue. You got to have that conversation. And if you expect to grow closer together and go forward, you got to have the conversation. And trust me,
if you're avoiding people at church because you don't want to talk to them about stuff, it right. might be time to have a conversation like this. Or if you find that your heart is hard towards them, you know, that's a danger. So I think then it's time to have a conversation. Or if you're doing community work and there's some kind of breach in your partnerships, you know, you're having a hard time dealing with a partner that has a different viewpoint than you do, then I think it's a sign you probably need to have a conversation.
Because you can't expect everybody to think like you do and then act like you do. You got to be willing to have a conversation with people about why you think like you do and why you act like you do.
Yeah, so, I figured that out when I was like about 35 years old, that not everyone thinks like me. So it took me a while. I'm a slow learner.
and you grew up in Duluth.
I did, yeah.
And now you're in Minneapolis, so you know not everybody in Minneapolis think like Duluth. So,
yeah, that's for me. That's probably a good thing. Duluth is an interesting place because it's got people of different political persuasions in it. You know, so I grew up with a lot of different viewpoints being expressed. People from Duluth are very plain spoken, so I've taken that with me into the rest of my life. So,
well, listen, if you all have questions for me or for Joy, you can put them in the chat, or Chavez can reach out to Chavez and he will let us know, because as I said, Joy is going to be one of our speakers at our major event that we're putting together right now. And I'm not going to give you all the details of her book, but I'm going to encourage you to get her book and read her book. Like I said, there's some very great information in there that would be good for not only just pastors, it's good for pastors, but it's also good for church leaders to be able to get this book and to read it, and to be able to share in your small groups to talk about it and to help bring your church together after COVID. But it's good for you to read it, but still we're gonna actually have her as a part of our conference/webinar, how we do it. We haven't agreed on exactly the format yet. We're gonna see which way COVID is going before we make the final decision. But it's gonna be a major conference. We're gonna have major speakers from all across the country. But Joy will be one of those speakers. So she is a major artist. And George, can you tell us about the workshop you're doing with a new church? I know you came on, we talked one day and you had your necklace on and your hip hop stuff on.
What my about that? Stuff on.
Yeah.
when I went downtown and I did my workshop down there?
We did the webinar. You said there was some from Kansas, I think, this ministry you're working with from Kansas. And they're starting a new kind of ministry like. And you was kind of apprehensive about it, nervous about it, because you said you had to get your other look on.
Oh, no, I went downtown to the Church Network, which is a national organization for church business administrators, had their national conference here last weekend. And so I was invited to speak at that, and they have to wear more businessy clothes, I guess. So I put on matching shoes and jewelry, which I don't always do on Zoom. So yeah, that's an example of something that I do. And in that case, I spoke on finding funding outside your church congregation. So how to look out into the community and look at grants and partnering with other nonprofits. And then I teach for Central Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Kansas. And they have a strong representation of people from Southeast Asia in their student body. So I'm working with two men from Myanmar right now. So
is there a strong case right now across the United States? But I noticed that even in Minnesota, there have been like 1,800 church plants in the last 5 years. By the last interview page that come out. It's about 1,800 new church plants.
I'm at Sanctuary Covenant Church on the north side, which was a church plant. It's been around for a while now, but that's a hip hop church. So I had to learn a lot about hip hop, the hip hop movement. So I say I know more about that than your average middle-aged white woman, probably.
So do you see more of that happening today? More traditional or more plants that are going toward that a different kind of movement of what? What do you see?
I think people are finding new ways to integrate in with the community. So I think it's important to listen and really learn about the community where you want to plant a church before you do that. So I was working with a church in rural Indiana. I've done a lot of work in Indiana with the Indiana Center for Congregations. And that church was working in a community where a lot of people were working, overnight shift jobs. So they had to think about, what time do we do our services and where do we do them? Maybe they're not going to be in the church building. They'll be somewhere else and they're going to be, at noon or in the afternoon or something. And it looks more like, if people haven't really been to church before, maybe it looks more like a Bible study where you're asking questions.
Because, that was a good section you had in there. And this is what although I've been in Rochester the last 21 years, but I hadn't spent much time here. I've been here for 21 years, but I hadn't spent much time in Rochester. I spent most of my time, all of my time in Minneapolis. So what is happening is I have realized that I hadn't spent enough time. So therefore, I'm talking to a lot of strangers who are trying to develop, establish who I am and what the community is looking like. And the other part you talked about in your book on how to talk to strangers. How important is that in developing your church and talking to strangers?
Oh, really important. So I think if you're going to plant a church, it's almost like having a sales job in a way, because you've got, so everybody I know has done it successfully just spends a ton of time out in the community. So you join the gym, you're sitting in the coffee shop doing your work, you attend meetings of like nonprofit coalitions in the community and you're just present. And restarting a church is kind of the same thing. So, I just think, I've worked with a church in Baraboo, Wisconsin, a pastor there, and he worked with other pastors to start a homeless shelter because the one that was there shut its doors and there was really no place for people in that community who were homeless to go in the winter in particular, they were concerned about. So he spent a lot of his time, his work time working on that shelter, and it really raised the visibility of the church and raised its reputation in the community, I think. He also is the announcer for the high school football team. He's one of the announcers, so he's at the games and announcing the games. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about is you're out there building relationships all the time, so.
Let me ask you this, get your thoughts on this. That was a couple just recently moved to town in Rochester, and their question was to the community. They wanted to know if there was a church that would accept them. It's a black and white couple. It's a white man with a black wife. And another couple with a black man with a white wife. And they're both looking for churches. And when they sent out the information, they didn't get too many responses about churches that are available to them. And I was looking, must have been last Thursday, there was a school board meeting in Rochester that really went just crazy because their whole thing was they are upset about the critical race theory.
Right.
And I mean, I didn't think that existed in Rochester like it did, because these people they stormed the school board meeting and they were like, we're not going to be teaching this critical race theory. We're not going to be doing this. And then at the church that's called Autumn Ridge, which was kind of reaching out to the African-American community, trying to be racially diverse. And they were really trying to hire a pastor that would help them do that. But then because of what has happened with the critical race theory, they had to drop that.
Because their church members were upset.
The church members upset and the pastor, and I know we've had some pastors that had to leave, and pastors who've lost members because of that. I mean, I know of a church in Minneapolis that lost over 1,000 members.
Yeah.
Because it was trying to cross racial barriers and really at least talk about it. And I was a personal friend with several people who have done that. So I don't know, what are you hearing on those racial reconciliations when it comes down to the church? I mean, what do we do? I'm going to come down to the church. What are you dealing with?
So to me, it's another issue that the church just can't not talk about. We have to talk about it. It's an issue of the day. So to not talk about George Floyd's death, the movement that arose out of that. And then, you know, how you talk about it or what you say is up to you. I don't think cowering in fear around issues of race suits us as Christians, because it's, you know, it's not how Jesus lived his life. It's not what we're called to. We're called to be reconcilers. Church should be a place for all people. So if that's really true, that multiracial families in Rochester aren't welcome in some churches, that makes me sad. That to me is a failure of the church. So church is for everyone. And one of the things we say in the book is everyone should have a friend at church. Like, you should be able to make connections with people at church.
I like that what you said in the book. Everyone should have a friend at church. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought at least one, you know, like somebody that knows you and knows about all your stuff and maybe knows your family. So I don't know what to say to pastors whose churches are just saying you can't talk about that, because I don't know. Pastors are in a difficult spot, but I think change comes when people are confronted with the truth. I mean, that's the first step, I think. And I hope we don't have churches that are, this church doesn't talk about racial issues, so I feel more comfortable there. Let's go over there.
But, like, you know,
I don't think we're supposed to feel comfortable in church all the time either. Like, I want to go to church and be challenged.
Right.
Like,
right. I was in a workshop once.
Go ahead.
I was in a workshop once down in with a local church. They had invited me to go to the workshop with them. And I won't call it church. Bethlehem Baptist Church invited me to go to the conference with them down in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was then Crew City. And they was going all of this blah, 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 blah. We want to join, we want black and white, black and white, black and white. And I was able to see that this was like an issue where they was not really serious. So I asked one simple question and it turned out the meeting. I said, okay, I hear what you're saying, but tell me, is there really a place of leadership for black and brown people in this organization?
Right.
Is there really a place, a place of leadership? Not just a token place, but when I look at your organization, I see all these white people. Is there a place for black and brown people? And they could not answer that question. And we went to break real soon.
You're in a hard position a lot of the time, I'm sure, to figure out if people are sincere about wanting to. You talked about people, pastors that have called you white pastors and have said, let's get to know each other, let's have a relationship. And you suggested they read some books on racial reconciliation and racial justice. Mm-hmm. You didn't hear from them again. So
when I gave them books to read, I didn't hear from them again.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a clue. But yeah, I mean, you're not there to explain all this to white people. That's the other thing I tell my white friends is, like, read some books, educate yourself about systemic racism, you know, watch some movies, and then maybe you'd be ready to have a conversation with somebody. So, yeah.
Well, I'm not in a position when I go off to speak to these places, and I've spoken all over in outstate Minnesota and across the country, I'm not in a position to try to make you feel good about who what we are in our racial reconciliation effort, because we're not in a good place.
Yeah.
So that's not what I do. But what I do is let us know that we got a lot of work to do. And a lot of times I'm not received well. A lot of times people feel like I'm trying to make them feel bad, trying to make them feel guilty. Well, yeah, I'm trying to make them feel guilty. but the bottom line is I'm trying to make us do better. And that's a part of what Pearl Living will do, what we've been doing, is going to churches and going talking with other pastors and getting them to the point where we can have this real conversation and not just have me to come in and speak to your church. If you can't speak to your church, then don't just bring me in and have me to be a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
Because before you bring me in, you ought to be to say something about this issue. Don't just bring me in and have me to speak, then everybody's upset with me. So if you can't talk about it, don't just bring me in. And yeah. That's the whole point. Thing I've been trying yeah. to get them to see.
No, I don't think we can avoid talking about issues of racial justice in the church. So I coach and train people on how to communicate, how to get their congregation to come along on stuff. Maybe you can't hit them with all of it right now, but on issues of race, I don't know.
I think churches may have to plant some churches or even replant some churches in order to get to this idea.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of people on the line. I don't know if anybody got any questions. Shelby, is there anybody put anything in the chat we need to address before we? If anybody else on Pearl Living need to say something? Or?
I put up in the chat the link to get to my book. So you could order it on Judson Press at that link. So
did you all get that link? Go and get the book. You need to get the book and read the book. And then by the time we have the workshop, then you'll be up on the issue that we're going to be talking about. But get the book. Don't wait until the workshop to get the book. But get the book now, read the book. And then I'm quite sure you're going to be able to gain a whole lot from the workshop. And you're going to greatly anticipate this particular workshop. And if you have things you want to see happen at the workshop, please let us know tonight. We're putting it together right now. So if there are things you'd like to see happen, question you would like to see answered at this particular workshop / webinar, seminar, if you would like things you'd like to see happen, please let us know, because we're putting it together right now as we speak. We have several speakers that is already in line. And I said, Joe is one of those. And we're going to be bringing some more of those to you in the very near future that you can even ask them questions. Some people you know, some people you don't know. I mean, people like Dr. Green, people like Jellis Chapman. I mean, let me stop right there because the list goes on and on. But we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful workshop in the very near future that we'll be bringing to you. But right now, if you have things you would like to see us address in the workshop, or if you would like to see Ms. Joy have a specific question for her tonight or for me even, please let us know right now, because we are nearing our time.
I put my email address in the chat box also.
Yeah. So
people have comments or questions for me.
So Deacon Eberhardt put a comment in the chat saying, sounds like a lot of information that is in the Purpose-Driven Church. So he did bring that up, a lot of similarities there. And then Emery has a question. So Emery, can you go ahead with your question?
Thank you, Dr. Chavez. Thank you, Dr. Russell. And Joyce Getstead, this is a really critical topic in our current life of our Christian walk in this day and age. And it just kind of reminds me that even the disciples used to had the nerve to chastise Jesus about the people he was hanging around with, and suggesting that he doesn't want to be seen hanging around with certain people. And there was disputes over salvation that you had to be circumcised, and Paul had to set some of his churches straight on that, on setting up stumbling blocks for people, when the real message is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how his death and resurrection paid for the sins of all of us. So I do really do appreciate you indulging in this topic today. And I am at the website. Thank you for putting that link in there. And I just purchased the book. Yay. And I'll be going over that and continuing my discussion. Thank you.
Great. Well, I'm glad you brought up the thing about stumbling blocks, and that's something that's been put in the way, that's in the way right now today, in the stumbling blocks, and that, because the whole conversation right now is really not about the Bible. It's about these political and social issues, and that's why a lot of pastors have walked away, because they can't get a message of the gospel across, because people are so indulged in the political issues and the other social issues. So I don't know, Joe, if you heard anything about that, but I want to say anything about that, but that's what has happened in church, what is dividing churches and splitting churches, And the reason why people are leaving churches, the reason why pastors are leaving churches, is because of the political divide and the black-white issue.
Yeah, so that's why I think you got to talk about those things and address them. And I think it's more about how do we come together as people and preserve our relationships and actually have conversations, not let's have a fight and see who wins the day, which side wins, you know? I do think, you know, a lot of pastors, and I'm glad about this, have been encouraging people to take COVID seriously, to get tested as needed, and to get vaccinated. So I also believe that's an important role for the church to play right now. So I don't know that we all want to indulge misinformation about the pandemic at church, because this is a serious thing and it affects communities of color more deeply for a variety of reasons. So no, I think that's true. You know, it's one reason why we've always gone to churches where the preacher preaches from the Bible, not the newspaper, but will reference the what's happening in current day to what happened in biblical times and Jesus' response to division, to ethnic division, including ethnic division, you know, and Paul's writings on those topics. Because this idea of division in the church is not new. It was certainly happening in the early church, and we get clear direction on that from the Bible. You know, we don't set up stumbling blocks for people. We don't prevent people from entering the church or finding a way to connect in the church. So that's really what this new book is about. I'm thinking that we talk about in the book people on the fringes of a church congregation. So people that don't talk to anybody, you know, every week, you can kind of see them standing by themselves. And are we noticing them? Is someone engaging them? You know, and I just have to keep reminding myself, I'm not just at church to hang out with my friends. You know, church is a place that's welcoming in everyone. And everyone should have a friend at church. So maybe that's me, or maybe I can connect them to one of the ministries of the church where they can make some friends. So anyway.
Well, thank you, Joe. I want to thank you for joining us tonight, and I want to encourage you to all those who are on tonight who are listening to us to go and to just impress and get the book. Joe, I put it in the chat where you can get the book and how you can get it. And I would encourage you to get it and read it. And then if that question that you have, you can reach out to me as we prepare this particular webinar that's coming up. So if you want to see something discussed in that, then please let us know. But it'd be good for you to read the book and discuss it with other people within your church. And please reach out to us. So again, we want to thank you. Joe, if you have any final words, I want to just say to people, go get the book. And if you have anything final you can say it. And I'm going to tell people about what's going to be happening next week.
Sure. Don't quit church. Don't quit the ministry. This has been a really hard time. So if you're thinking about that, don't. I think we're like a new church is going to rise up out of this time. And it's maybe going to be more effective than the church was before COVID, because we've had to ask ourselves all these hard questions like, why are we here? How are we engaging people? You know, how are we dealing with division when it arises? So yeah, don't give up. This is hard. It's going to be hard for a while yet in the same way. And if you have comments for me on the book, or have more questions for me, or are interested in talking about some consulting, you can just email me. And you know, if you think a group at your church wants to read the book, just let me know, because I could probably get you a deal. You wouldn't have to go through the website. So anyway, I've done that before for people. If a group wants to read it, we can work directly with the publisher. So anyway.
Yeah, Joe, get you a deal.
I'll get my last word. So just keep going, everybody.
Joe, get you a deal. And she's a consultant for us, and she's really working with us to help get a Prayer of the Living established, not only as a national ministry, but an international ministry. And Joe, we want to appreciate you for the work you've done with us, the work you did with me, and getting me associated with the community when I first came to Minnesota back in 2001. So thank you from the depths of my heart. We appreciate the work you've done.
Thanks so much.
We appreciate what you're going to do going forward.
I enjoy great work with you and your family's members. Yeah.
Thank you so much. You've done great work. So next Sunday night, then listen, we're going to be doing this. I took a brief break because we've been traveling, but we're going to be here each Sunday evening doing this podcast going on from here forth. And next Sunday is a very special time because guess what? We're coming up on 8/8/21. If anybody knows what that date is, just shout it out right now. 8/8/21. Anybody know what that date is?
Deesha's getting married.
On 8/8/21, Deesha, my baby girl, getting married. And yeah, my baby girl. And that way, it would be worth it all. I came to Minnesota and I've got my two sons married and my daughter got married in Minnesota. It'd be worth it all. So that will bring some closure for me that it actually happened. And so 8/8/21, Deesha is getting married. So as a precursor to that, next Sunday, we're going to invite you all, everybody, to the love seat. In other words, get on your love seat, sit at your love seat, and listen to us gather around the table, gather around your love seat. We're going to be talking love next week, because here it is. And we're going to let Deesha and Lamar going to be leading us. She don't even know this yet. And Deesha and Lamar want to get married. And Charvel and Charmaine are actually doing the wedding, so they're going to have a conversation piece in it. And Joe and Tanisha just had a 3-year wedding anniversary, so they're going to be a part of the conversation as well. But here's the big picture. My wife and I have been together for 55 years. Hallelujah. Praise God. 55 years. And after 55 years, we're still in love, and we thank God for what we've done. We've been together 55 years, been married 44 years, and we have been in ministry, still in ministry together for now, going into our 41st year. So we're going to talk about that next week and give you a chance to ask us questions about what it means to still be in love after all these years. And Deesha and Lamar will get a chance to ask us those questions. So they're going to get those questions. And you get a chance to ask those questions too, and what that's like and how it is even now, as we can say, sweeter as the days go by. So we invite you to join us next Sunday at 6:00 on the love seat. All right. God bless you all. Thank you so much, God. We thank you for your joy, your peace tonight. We thank you for what you've given us, the wisdom you've given us. We thank you for the words we've heard. Now bless us as we go forward. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Thanks, everybody. God bless you.
Thanks, Pastor Russell. Thanks, Sister Joy.
God bless you all. Amen.